Now, where courtly love is concerned, nobody argues about the first definition, that it's the poetry of courts. About the second definition, that it bears some relationship to courtly love as a series of love conventions, on this, scholars argue hotly. Some say it's actually a modern invention that's sort of been imposed on the Middle Ages. Others say, no, it's there in the Middle Ages and we're to take it seriously, or, well, it's there in the Middle Ages but we are to take it as ironic. Well, I leave you simply with the notion that there are controversies over how we are to understand courtly love. But that there was distinguished love poetry is not a point on which there is any dispute. The greatest vernacular writer of the Middle Ages, and one of the greatest of all Western writers, was Dante Alighieri, 1265 to 1321. No less an authority than T.S. Eliot once said that Dante and Shakespeare divide the world between them. There is no third. He's best known, of course, for his Commedia. But this was his last work, and he wrote many others along the course of his life. His Vita Nuova, 1290 to 94, is a series of 31 love poems woven together by a prose narrative. Again, an ancient form, mixing poetry and prose in a single work. Anyway, it's a narrative woven together that treats love allegorically as the force that brought Dante spiritual salvation. His book, the De Vulgari Eloquentia, is a learned book in Latin that explores the suitability of the vernacular as a vehicle for poetic composition. It's a very early and masterful essay in literary theory. The De Monarchia is a Latin treatise on the struggles between the popes and the emperors, takes the emperor's side, by the way, that upholds the independence and the legitimacy of the medieval empire against the popes and against the church. But we come to the Commedia, called in English the Divine Comedy. Divine not because it's heavenly in a literal sense, but heavenly in a figurative sense. It is a masterpiece. Now, its greatness cannot be taken for granted, and in some respects even, is a little difficult to understand. This is a very long poem, 14,000 lines. It's arranged into 100 canti. We say cantos in English. A canto is a song, or canto in Italian. Its structure is difficult. It is terza rima. Now, this is a rhyme scheme that works like this. A, B, A, B, C, B, C, D, C. You notice the rhymes on the third verse each time. This is difficult to achieve in a long poem like this in English, and very hard to render in English translation. There have been English translators who have attempted the terza rima with more or less success, but it's tough. Now, the poem deals with numerous of Dante's contemporaries. These, again, are figures with whom we are mostly not familiar today. It deals with elaborate issues then current in legal circles, elaborate issues then current in politics, elaborate issues then current in theology. Dante was, in his way, a scholastic. The poem, then, in a way, is much like Milton's Paradise Lost later on. It's full of literary allusions that can elude almost any reader, or listener, if you're hearing the poem. Essentially, at bottom, to the degree that one can do violence to something like this by generalizing about it, the poem is a tale of a journey. The travelers are Dante himself, the reader or the hearer, all the figures mentioned in the poem, all the cultural artifacts and phenomena alluded to in the poem, and finally, in truth, the whole human race. It is a universalizing tale. It's an exploration of morality and religion. We begin in the inferno. We begin in hell. We begin with the punishment of those who have failed. It's an exploration of religion. It's an exploration of morality and religion and the roles they play in the forming of the human character, in the failure of individual humans to rise to the challenge of humanity's possible greatness. There is in Dante always an optimism. He shows us people again and again who failed, but there is still in him something optimistic. There is hope. Hope does not vanish, even though as we enter the mouth of hell, we are told to abandon hope, all you who enter here. That is ironic. Finally, the poem returns to themes opened up in the Vita Nuova. Love becomes the central metaphor in the poem. Now, the reference of the metaphor are the loves that are the love are the love that humans feel or fail to feel for each other.